You're listening to episode 10 of the Mad Chatters podcast, December 3rd, 2014.
Most everyone's mad here.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Mad Chatters podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney universe. I am Derek, and joining me are my co-host Jeremy.
Hey, hey.
And Matthew.
Hey, howdy, hey.
Yeah, did you guys have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Are y'all full, still in your food comas? What's going on?
Yeah, full of something, yep.
Yeah, we had two Thanksgiving dinners, one Thursday night and one Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
We are doubly full.
On today's show, we are going to talk about music in the parks and kind of celebrate some of our favorite background loops, songs, all kinds of stuff. But first, let's jump into some news. Let's talk about what's going on at the parks. Two big announcements this week. The first is about the Great Movie Ride, which we've talked about a lot on this show, and how the hat being removed might mean improvements to the Great Movie Ride. We don't know, but this week definitely gave us a hint that that might be happening. And Turner Classic Movies, TCM, has become the new sponsor of the Great Movie Ride. They already released a poster for it, and they've announced a few changes coming to the front end and back end of the ride. So what do you guys think about that? Excited?
Oh, more than excited.
Very excited indeed. Even though the announcement doesn't really involve the ride itself,
yeah.
To me, I think everybody is speculating that this means that something has to be coming to the ride eventually as well. I don't think TCM would jump into such a partnership and just leave it in the condition it currently is, because the thing hasn't had a major refurb since it opened in, what, 89? So it definitely needs some love, and hopefully this is just step one of many to come.
I love the poster. What did you guys think of that?
I love the poster, and did you see the website as well that had been launched?
No, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. Huh. They both look really good, and yeah, this thing comes, as Jeremy said, as a partnership between Turner Classic Movies and Disney, in which they're also going to be broadcasting what is called Vault Disney material on TCM on Saturday evenings, such as old Disneyland TV programs, Wonderful World of Color, old Disney movies, and things like that. So it's going to be a long-lasting partnership, and hopefully that will mean more upgrades to the ride in the future.
This might just be what makes me subscribe to TCM. Who knows?
I thought the same thing, because...
You know, I have it, and I didn't know I had it.
I love that channel. Every time I flip by something, I'm like, oh, I want to watch that. I don't get TCM.
Well, I have always thought that this is what the Disney Channel needs to be after, like, 10 p.m. Because after 10 p.m., there's nothing but Hannah Montana and reruns, you know, kind of a thing. Why couldn't they play I don't really watch it. I'm assuming. Terrible. And this kind of programming would be perfect for the adults who love that nostalgic feel, and also to introduce children to some classic programming from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. There's a plethora of stuff they could have played. It wouldn't cost them very much, I wouldn't think. But now TCM is getting the benefits of that. Another positive about the TCM partnership is I'm so thankful that I believe Turner Classic Movies will keep the integrity to the ride.
I think so, too.
Because there's always been this kind of fear that the Great Movie Ride would all of a sudden feature films like Fast and Furious and Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, stuff like that is pop culturally popular but not timeless. And I would like to see more Citizen Kane and less Paul Walker.
Oh, may he rest in peace. Okay, well, we've talked about what they're not going to do, which is change the scene so far. But what they are going to do is the poster, and they're adding some digital posters, I guess, throughout the queue and the front area, maybe. Probably, like, the facade, I guess, has those posters. And then they're going to redo the montage, the 3 or 4 minute montage that plays as you exit, which is a no-brainer. Like, why wouldn't they change that every year? I don't know. But anyway, so they're doing that. So I think that's all great. Someone made the connection that when Siemens became the new sponsor of Epcot, or of Spaceship Earth, that's when the wand came away. So if TCM sponsorship had anything to do with the hat going away, I say thank you, TCM, and it'll be a great partnership from here on out.
Thank you, Ted Turner.
Okay, the other piece of news, they, as far as I know, is a surprise, but they kind of announced yet another expansion of the Africa section in Animal's Kingdom, and it's going to be called Africa Marketplace. It's got a new merchandise location, a new quick service restaurant where there will be multiple walk-up windows, and a new walkway that will connect Africa and Asia. So the concept art looks really great. What do you guys think?
I honestly, I have not really dived deep into this. I haven't been to Animal Kingdom in forever. I need to go, and it'll be a little bit longer till I go. But anything they can do to expand Africa in the Animal Kingdom is so great.
Yeah.
Because that's a great area. The theming there is superb. Mm-hmm. And I just say, keep it going.
But it is kind of like, here's the thing. I've seen the concept art, and it looks wonderful, but I can't figure out where it's placed in there. I know they said beside the Mombasa Marketplace, the train station, but I don't know. Are we talking like on the right side as you come in where Baloo and King Louie used to meet? Is it like back in that treed area, or is it behind the Tusker House on the left side?
I think it's on that side by where Baloo met.
Okay. Because well, that makes sense because that whole area is a death trap of traffic.
Yeah, and there's really nothing there. Yeah, and there's nothing there either except trees and things. So that would make the most sense.
Well, it's like the rush to Kilimanjaro safaris in the morning or any time. That's the only thing that's back there, except for the train to Rafiki's zoo, stinky watch, whatever that is. And that's the only thing there is back there. So it is kind of like a cul-de-sac, and it just kind of catches people, and they just stand there. It's terrible.
Well, isn't the animal watch back there as well? The Panjuri Forest?
Oh, the Pangani Exploration
Pangani
Trail.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And this is supposed to feature a walkway to Asia, too, correct?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Wow. So. Yeah, so this would be good for just mobility all around,
yeah.
If not just for aesthetics, too.
And I love that they're not just focusing on Avatar. Like, they easily could have said, oh, we've got Animal Kingdom taken care of because Avatar's coming. But they've already changed Harambe, and now they're adding this expansion, even more food, which Animal Kingdom could really use. So I love the Animal Kingdom getting some love. I like that part.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, we're going to start this musical episode with a very special My Disney experience.
Isn't it fantastic?
I'll tell you what, buddy, it don't get much better than this.
It's like a dream. A wonderful dream come true.
For this edition of My Disney Experience, since we're doing music on this episode, we thought we would share my personal Disney experience, which is with the American Idol experience. So really, it's just trying to determine how many times we can say experience in this segment. But joining us, we have a very special guest who also did the American Idol experience, and is Terry. Say hey, Terry.
Hey!
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, we're so excited that three became four. On
Yay.
This special episode.
Am I the first official podcast guest?
The very
podcast
first.
Podcast guest, podcast.
Hey, podcast, you should trademark that.
I really should. Yeah,
podcast.
Yes, you are a first. Congratulations.
Yes.
You should feel special.
I'm so excited.
So basically, in 2010, I auditioned for the American Idol experience and made it on stage. And Terry did, do you remember what year?
It was 2011.
Okay, so pretty close together. I don't remember when that attraction opened, but it's now gone. So we thought this would be the best chance probably to talk about it since it's now extinct and we can...
Having a moratorium.
Exactly. Let's start with the audition process. I thought it'd be kind of cool to give listeners who didn't experience it a chance to see what went on behind the scenes. I don't remember what time I auditioned, but I know when they first opened this attraction, they opened the park early to guests who wanted to audition.
Really?
But I'm pretty sure by the time I did it, like, they didn't really need to do that because they were, like, begging people to come off the streets and audition.
Yeah, I literally, like, just walked right in.
Okay, do you remember what time of day or anything?
It was probably mid-morning, like 10-ish.
That's how I was, yeah. But I think on the day I did it, I know I made the second of six or seven shows. And then they were still taking auditions at like 3 or 4 p.m.
Wow.
So there's obviously a reason this closed, you know, not too long after it opened. Okay, so basically there are three or four rooms, and you go in and you can sing whatever song you want and to a judge sitting at a table. Do you remember what song you sang?
I sang "I'm the Only One" by Melissa Etheridge.
Okay, I can hear that. Yeah, yeah. Terry's got a great voice, by the way. I would make her sing on this microphone, but I'm sure she doesn't want to do that. And since I'm all congested, I'm not about to do that either. Yeah, yeah.
Do a duet.
We have a couple of those.
Yes, we'll release those never.
Endless love. Endless love. Endless love.
I wonder if they let people do that.
I don't know.
They do that on the real show. But anyway, I auditioned with some David Archuleta song.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, the ultimate American Idol contestant. Absolutely. David Archuleta, who everyone talks about now. Anyway, so we auditioned, and I'm pretty sure, like I said, they were just... I don't want to discredit myself, but I do feel like they were just... would take anyone who could carry a tune, you know?
Yes.
And so, I mean, I did fine, but it was like, yes, you need to go to the next round. So then after that is the Coca-Cola room, right? Okay, which is like two beanbag chairs.
It's literally like a nook. Like, it's yeah. not even a room.
Exactly. And they give you an iPod, which has the 100, I think it is 100 even, yeah. songs on it. And you have to choose from one of those. And speaking from a guy, they were all super high.
Speaking as a girl, they all sucked. Like, I was just like, why are these the only songs
you're
I get
so
to pick
right.
from?
You're so right. Probably half of them, maybe not half, but quite a few were Disney songs.
Yes.
And then a lot of them were pop songs of yesteryear.
Like the quote-unquote current hits
yeah,
that
exactly.
were current in like
Miley
the 90s,
Cyrus.
Early 2000s. Not even
no,
the 90s,
yeah, yeah.
They weren't retro.
Like, well, Melissa Etheridge.
Well, true. Okay.
And David Archuleta, except he was popular never. But anyway...
We're really hating on David Archuleta this tonight.
Listen, I picked
He's
his
the
song.
New Asian.
Okay, so they give us an iPod, and I was listening to him, and I remember thinking, like, I'm never going to be able to sing any of these, because they're so far out of my range. But luckily, Ain't Too Proud to Beg had two different keys, and the lower one I could kind of hit. Do you remember what song you picked?
What did I... Oh, Independence Day by Martina McBride.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
That was more picked for me than me picking it. Because I was like, I don't know.
You know what? Now that I say that, you get to pick two songs.
Oh,
and then you go in the room and they pick which one's right. best. Because I remember saying, Ain't You Proud to Beg and Breakaway by Kelly Clarkson. And the guy said, don't sing Breakaway. So I was like, all right, ain't you proud to beg it is.
How long did each of these processes take from the first room to the Coca-Cola room?
The Coca-Cola room was immediate.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they let you sit there as long as you want, playing with the iPod and trying to decide what song you want to pick.
And like...
So you don't immediately... Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and sort of like Derek said earlier, it's not like this place was... packed with people
right.
trying to get in. So at this point, it was just sort of like, yeah, take your time.
Yeah.
Hurry, whenever you're
flip
ready.
The iPod. Oh, never mind. No one's out here. Keep going.
You don't have yeah. to share it with anyone.
Yeah. So I did Ain't Too Proud to Beg. And honestly, it wasn't really that good. They actually give you a microphone and everything in this tiny
That's right, in this
room.
Teeny tiny office.
Yeah,
and he's
it is
like
an office.
Sitting at a desk. So you sort of legit feel like you're. I guess that's the point. They want you to feel like you're auditioning for a record
right.
label or something. But it's weird because it's like a karaoke machine and you've got a microphone.
Yeah.
And you're just rocking out in somebody's office.
It was weird. It was weird. Like, yeah, because you actually come through the sound system
right.
and everything. But it's like a 10x10 office.
Right.
Yeah. So I sang that and I couldn't even hear what key to start in. So it really wasn't that good. But about halfway through, he's like, yeah, yeah, you're good. You're good. I was like, oh gosh, it's
hey,
gonna
where
be
do you think
mess.
They get these people at? These people that were in these rooms, do you think they're really like skilled, you know, like vocal coaches and things like they're supposed to be? Or are they just playing
a Disney claims they are, or claim they were, because the lady told me one time that there were people that came every day to audition. Just to get the free advice from the vocal coaches when they said
that's weird.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's true, but
yeah,
she told
worry.
Me people in Orlando, locals, would come every day, and it was like free vocal lessons for them.
I will say there was a girl that I ended up doing the show with that I'm fairly sure she was probably one of those people.
Okay, that's funny you say that, because as I came out of the room with that audition, there was a guy about to go in, and he was talking to one of the workers, and clearly they knew each other just because of this, but he said something like, I think this is the time, and he had been there like 10 or more times auditioning. So.
Well, let's just insert here that these people are crazy for doing that, but there is a pretty good prize, at least back in the day it was pretty good, And that if you won the whole thing, you got, was it a special pass to audition for the actual American Idol without sitting in line?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
I don't know, Terry. What was it?
It was like the golden ticket, I guess you could call it. We didn't have to stand in line. You got to go into the venue earlier than everyone else, but you still had to, like, sit and wait. And then they herded everybody who had those tickets, like, cattle up to audition the same way everybody else does.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Once you get in there, there's not really any special treatment, but you don't have to stand outside in line all day.
Yeah, I guess so.
And spoiler, Terry won, so there you go. Anyways, back to your experience.
Okay, do you remember what your judge said after you sang that?
I don't remember what he said. I just remember thinking, like, was this a huge mistake, and should I just be out enjoying the park instead of doing this?
I was the same way. I remember asking, like, we have dinner reservations tonight. Should we change those? Right. How much of my day is this going to take up? Yeah, it's a big commitment. Yeah,
it's a huge commitment, and you don't realize it, I think, until you get in there, and then you're like, oh, I'm not going to get to see the rest of the park, am I?
I know.
Well, it is Hollywood Studios, so you didn't miss much, but...
Well, at that time, you know, like 3 or 4 years ago, all of their standard B-ticket attractions were still open, so...
Right, yeah, yeah.
Plenty of stuff to do and stand around in.
Okay, so after that, I made the second show, and I'm pretty sure it was really close to after that, so they took me right back to quote-unquote hair and makeup, which makeup... I don't even remember them doing anything. Maybe some blush. Is that what you do? Rouge? I don't know what it's called.
Not for you. I mean, maybe. If you're going for like a French prostitute look, maybe you could go with that. But
I don't know anything about makeup, but they did something very subtle.
It was probably just some powder. I think it was just some powder to
keep your shine down.
That was it. And they didn't touch my hair. And then there are three people.
I have a note on that.
Okay.
Not on your hair.
I'm bracing myself.
There is nothing worse, especially as a girl, than being at Disney World in July, nasty hot, and then somebody wants to play with your hair.
Yeah.
Because you're like, please don't put your hands in my hair because it's nasty, sweaty right now.
I get that.
Sorry, TMI, but that was just not... Not fun.
Should give you a shampoo.
I would have felt a little fresher because at that point you're like, I'm at Disney World. I didn't come to look like stage ready.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because people, they do their hair and makeup, but then they got their tank top on, their flip flops, their booty shorts, and it's like, we're in vacay mode. We're not in, you know, live television mode.
Here. I think it goes back to what you said, Terry, though, about them making you feel like you got the whole experience. It's the American Idol experience, you know, not the American Idol show. So, anyway.
It's kind of backing up a little bit, but the only time that, and this sort of goes back to what Matt was asking about if they are real vocal coaches. I do remember, like, there was an actual vocal coach
while
you're getting ready to go on stage that meets with you and kind of gives you some pointers. And that was the only time I felt like, oh, this guy probably knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and I remember the guy being really nice, the guy I had. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Because I remember he even by the end, I was basically eating the microphone because he was like, you're still not close enough. You're still not close enough.
Right. He was the only one that I was like, he kind of sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
They work at other places at that time? Do you reckon that they worked at other places in Walt Disney World and that was just like something they did 2 or 3 times a week?
I would imagine that these were entertainment workers that were just picking up extra shifts or were doing this part-time.
Yeah. That's what I would say.
I'm thinking about the fact that at Hollywood Studios on February the 21st, Tuesday afternoon, how many people are really going to be there to audition for American Idol Experience that this attraction can house that many employees? I just can't see that. It makes sense to me that it closed. My question is, though, talk a little bit about the show. Like, talk about how many contestants were on the show with you, and like, what was it like? What were you doing before you came out on stage?
There's a holding room in the back with a screen where you can see what's going on. And then when it was about your turn, they kind of made you stand on a star or something. Of course, it's a star. Because you're an all-star. And then, so I went second, I think. So the girl sang in front of me. And then the judges gave her comments. You know, that obviously they're all nice except for the one guy who's Disney mean. Not mean, but Disney mean.
The atrocious judges who are cheap imitations. You have the fat black guy who's the Randy Jackson. You have the spacey broad who is the Paula Abdul. And then you have the mean pseudo-Brit who is supposed to be Simon Cowell. It is awful. awful. But anywho, they give their critiques nonetheless.
Yeah. So I went out there, sang it. I don't really remember singing it at all, just because you're like, I'm just kind of like, I'm on stage, people are watching me, this is weird.
Right.
The audience, it was maybe 10% full, you know, it was right. In the morning.
Well, and it's, there were what, there are three of you, right?
Yes, three.
There were three, yeah. And it's just, it was kind of neat because I kind of got to know the people that I was competing against or whatever, but they were so nice. Like, I actually think I became Facebook friends with, like, all of them.
Oh.
Yes, we're Facebook That's official.
Disney magic.
Wow. Maybe they're listening now when we promote the podcast and tag Terry in the...
Ha-ha, you lost.
Derek had a similar situation. Do you remember the women that came up to you, Derek? And
We'll get to that. Okay, so going back for a second, we both won, correct?
Right.
We both won our show. And I remember the moment they said it, thinking on stage, like, do I really want to come back?
Yeah.
Like, do I have to stay here all day long? Like, what is happening?
Exactly.
But then they took us backstage and said, be back here at a certain time, because that's when our final show will start, and we'll get you ready and tell you what's going on. Now, after that, they pulled me and my friends Jeremy and Matt aside, and they were going to record some video segments.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Like,
Jeremy and David.
Yeah, who did I say?
Matt.
Me.
Oh, Jeremy and David, yeah.
I weren't there.
Matt was not there. Sorry. And so we recreated, like, me making it, and even though when I really made it, we didn't do anything, this time we had to act all excited, so we were, like, jumping and give each other hugs, and I had to answer a few questions, like, who's my favorite American Idol? And then we found out, I said, of course, Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, okay.
Although, really, Elliot Yamin was my favorite while watching the show, but they said, oh, you have to say a winner.
Oh, poor Elliot.
I know.
Not a loser.
Poor guy. So
I thought you were going to say Archuleta. I mean.
Oh, no. He's not a winner either, so they would have rejected that, too. I should have listed, like, 18 people before finally saying Kelly Clarkson. But anyway, and then we found out later, one of the seven, they show, like, a video montage, and I guess I was that person. So,
Yeah,
it was kind of cool how they put the video together. I kind of wish we could have saved it or bought it or something. Now, did they do anything special for you?
They didn't do it for me. Well, hold on. I need to back up. They did the one for me where, like, everyone in the lobby was, like, chanting my name.
Yeah, that's
yes.
right.
And I'm like, these poor people have no idea who they're cheating
yeah.
for.
Well, they do lots of different ones. And, Derek, you got a good one because they actually used the footage, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Of us talking. But I always felt bad for the one person that was like, who's your favorite American Idol? And they're like, Carrie Underwood. And they're like, well, we have a special message for you. And then, like, the recorded, canned Carrie Underwood comes on
yeah,
and it's like,
awful.
You can do it. You can sing great. And I was yeah. like, that poor person. Like, they get this very generic whoopee-doo message. And,
yeah.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, no, I remember that. In fact, now that you say that, for our show, it was David Archuleta that person picked. Because
oh,
remember
it was.
When he came up on the screen, he had, like, that airy, like, voice. And the guy backstage was making fun. And I had to defend because I was like, listen, his song got me here. I remember that now that you say that. So it must not just be winners.
I wouldn't be where I was.
If it weren't for Archie.
Today. This same day. I've come so far in 3 hours.
As far as making friends go, I definitely got closer to the people in that final show because there are seven.
Right.
And so you're all, six of you at one time are always in that back room watching the screen and talking. And
right.
so I did make Facebook friends with the girl who won,
yes.
but that was it.
Well, and I think, I can't remember who the guy was in the first round, but the woman that was in it with me was actually, like, she sang in Europe.
Oh.
So, and so, like, anyway, she had, like, a professional Facebook page, and we became friends on there. But then the final show, it was the same way. Like, I became closer, I think, with some of those people, because they were closer to my age and
sure.
things like that.
So you beat the woman that had the professional Facebook page in Europe?
Yes,
wow.
I really don't know how, because she was awesome.
Oh, yeah?
She was really good.
Now, when I did it, there were two people who I was sure beat me, but then the rest I felt like we were all just kind of average.
Right.
But the girl who won, ooh, she killed it. She did You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman.
Ooh.
Oh, man. It was good stuff. I would have voted for her.
And the other one who did really well, she sang that Stevie Wonder song For Once in My Life, and I thought she was
yeah.
She
yeah.
was great.
She was good,
nice.
Too.
Did you vote for her, Jeremy?
No, I was loyal.
Don't you dare. Yeah. But it was kind of fun. I will say the day I did it, it rained all day, so that part cleared out.
I bet it
and
did.
So, like, all the women, when they came in, were like, oh, I definitely need hair and makeup. I look a mess. Where I was like, I mean, I look the same. I had an umbrella, first of all, but also I'm a guy. But the auditorium, they said, was like a third as full as it usually is for the last show. So, but, I mean, it's really okay.
Now, Derek, you've auditioned for this twice. I don't know if you remember this.
That's right. Yeah. When my family was there in 2009, my sister and I auditioned, and we made it past. I remember being sick then, too. And then I made it past the first round, but Ashley and I kind of looked at each other and were like, our whole family's here. We're only here one day. Yeah. So we didn't want to commit to it, so we just left.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Sorry about you.
Bye. That sounds like what everybody did with that attraction after about 2 years.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Do I really want to be here?
Well, let me share from my perspective as a viewer of the American Idol experience. First off, when Derek auditioned on this trip, I auditioned with you. I don't know if you remember this, but you were kind of like unsure about it, and I told you I would do it with you. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
Did you audition with your puppets?
What?
Like Avenue Q or something?
You know your Disney puppets.
No. Well, so I didn't really want to audition, but I kind of thought, well, I told Derek I'd audition with him, and I knew he was kind of unsure about it, so I went in there with him. Well, they take you into the room, and I just told the guy in the room, I was like, I'm not really here to audition. I'm a terrible singer. I'm just doing this for my friend. And he was like, oh, okay. Do you want a button? And he gave me the button, and that was it. And so I have my I auditioned for American Idol experience button, but who knows where it's at. Mm-hmm. Anywho, so Derek made it through, and it was really exciting. We went to the show, and when you sit there, you watch, and they do a really good job as far as the production was, like the production value. The stage is really well lit and nice and set up. And when you vote, the voting is on your armrest of the chair. There's like a 1, 2, 3, and 4. So when it comes time for the voting at the end of the show, you just press your button and that's who wins. Now, there were a lot of people I've seen who cheat, and all the empty chairs, they run up and press the voting for the people they want.
Wait, you didn't do that for me?
Oh.
That's I could have won that last round.
Yeah. But it was a fun experience. It was cool because, you know, you see the person up there and it does, you know, you can kind of get lost in the moment and it does kind of really feel like the television show that they're up there and singing and it's nice. But that being said, if I did not know the person in the show, if I was just your average park attender who was going into this attraction, this would be hell to sit through.
Yeah.
Because it's amateur karaoke.
Yeah.
It's awful. I don't know how to put this in terms for our non-church listeners, but if you know what a CTS competition is, it is CTS.
You mean non-Free Will Baptist listeners? Yes.
I was just thinking that.
Non-church.
Yes. Sorry, non-Free Will Baptist.
No, you just mean your generic offertory special.
Yes, yes. And
usually featuring Carrie Underwood, believe it or not.
Yeah, Jesus take the wheel.
It's just awful. And so the fact that – and you mentioned earlier you didn't know when it opened. I looked up. It opened in 2009, February 2009, closed August 30th of this year. That's 5 years this thing ran.
But that means I auditioned the year after it opened, and they were already to the point of like standing on the street being like, hey, do you want to audition for American Idol? Come on in.
Oh, I'm pretty sure the month after it opened they were begging people because you figure three – okay, let's just say they did 7 shows. 3 people, that's 21 people you know you need for each show. Realistically, is there 21 people who have good singing talent in that park on your average day?
Yeah. I think so. They're just not going to audition for something like that.
True. Yeah. There's a reason why karaoke takes place at bars. Because people drink to sing and people drink who listen. And it's all better.
Yeah.
You have to have
or
an
just
open
enjoyable.
Bar.
Yeah.
The American Idol experience, an open bar. That's what's needed.
This attraction was just a dumb to begin with. Yeah, the whole idea was dumb because what attracts people, and I'm from a non-American Idol fan, but my wife used to be. Big time. What drew people into the show and what made them fans was latching on to particular people over like week after week after week, and they began to pull for them, and they knew that was the way it's going to be every season. It wasn't like necessarily the singing, and the, I don't know. It's just they tried to capture the wrong thing.
Well, and they were a few years behind because by 2009, yeah, American Idol going was down. Spiraling down. The height of American Idol was like 2002 to 2006, and then you're going to start an attraction in 2009?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Disney. It was probably on the planning board for that long.
Yeah, I agree with exactly what Matt said because I think that is what made American Idol special is you got to know the people behind it, and you began to root for a person. And unless somebody is willing to give up like their entire day and watch each and every show and then come to the finale and pick their favorite, like you lose all of that. I mean, even if you did that, you're not going to have that. But
right,
you know.
Right.
But you still got your fans. There were still fans of the people in the park.
Well, yeah, but it's hard to get really connected to like Miss Mary from Wichita with a goiter who has three children in like 2 hours of watching the show. It's like, I cannot connect to that.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the show for a second. I did not win. And I remember we all stood in the line and he said, okay, numbers 2 and 7, step forward. Okay, 7, step back. I was number 2. Front row, you're out. And I was like, oh, that was really fast. I'm done.
Oh, we're done? Yeah. Okay.
There was not a lot of drama and buildup.
No. But then you won.
Yeah.
Now, I seem to remember, like, confetti or something.
There was confetti.
Okay.
It was very surreal.
Was it the most amazing experience of your life?
It was, completely. No, I felt like I was having the weirdest dream of my life. Like, I can't even really put it into words.
With pseudo Ryan Seacrest
exactly.
announcing your name?
And he really did, like, build it up between, like, the last two.
He
and
clearly watched American Idol, like, every day in preparation for this show. Yeah.
Right. And my mom actually, like, snapped a picture of me, like, looking over, like, trying to see the envelope. Like,
sneaky.
But no, like, he announced my name, the confetti starts falling, and you really do feel like you're on some sort of trip or something. Like, this is the weirdest thing that's ever happened in my life. But it was funny because, you know, they clear the theater out.
Before then, the last piece of confetti fell, like, the auditorium
okay,
was empty.
You're done. So, all I could think about was, basically, I need to revise my earlier statement. I think I auditioned, like, later in the day, because I think my first round, there was only one other show after me, and then the finale.
Oh, okay.
So, it was later in the day, because I literally had time to leave and go do the great movie ride, and then I had to come back and do the finale. So, after the finale, all I could think about was, oh my gosh, I really want to go ride a couple of rides before I have to get kicked out of the park. So, I go out the door. Like, you don't even go out the back door. Like, you go out the main door,
yeah.
And there were, like, these little girls with their autograph books standing there.
No!
It was the cutest thing in the world. They were like,
yes!
Can we get your autograph?
That is adorable.
It was adorable. And so, I was like, seriously? Like, no.
Hey, but look, they never, it's sad and kind of silly, but, you know, what if they were, like, thinking, like, you never know, you might
exactly.
have been
exactly. Little did they know that my career would go nowhere, but. No, but
they got your
cute.
Autograph somewhere. Somewhere some girl has a frame on her wall.
And it got you on the Mad Chatters podcast, don't
absolutely.
You ever.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Absolutely.
But don't worry, this is the peak, so don't get too excited.
Absolutely.
There are tens of people listening right now.
I do remember, like, after that, it was so funny because I literally ran from the American Idol experience trying to get to Tower of Terror. And I couldn't find it. And, you know, it's, like, frantic. Like, the park's going to close, and I really want to ride Tower of Terror. And there was, like, a family.
That
They're
is
like,
a nightmare.
Oh, my gosh, we listened to you, and it was so good, and congratulations. I was like, thank you. Do you know how to get to Tower of Terror?
Nice. It's the giant tower in the park, Terry. Come
I know.
On.
I was just all a flutter. I didn't.
Now, was that... You only spent 2 days in the parks, right? Was that your last day?
Yeah, we only spent 2 days, so it was our last
okay,
day.
Okay, so you didn't have the joy that I had of kind of throughout the week, like, encountering people in other parks who were like, we saw you. It was. It made you feel
kind of
special
it
in a weird
does.
Way.
It remember, happened every day.
It,
like,
it really
no
did. More so the first day. But it started that night on the bus ride back. I remember it was raining still, but some people were like, hey, good job on the show tonight.
Aww.
No one said I voted for you, but whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
So the next morning we were waiting for pictures with Sorcerer Mickey in Animation Academy, and there were some people there. Oh no, it was the same day. It was between shows, and they were like, oh, good luck tonight. That's right. But then the best was one, maybe 2 days later, we were at Animal Kingdom, and we were passing these two ladies, and right in my ear, it was, we voted for you! Like, it was so loud, it made me jump.
These old British women just appeared out of nowhere,
that's
and
fantastic.
They were like, Right in Derek's face, and I
like grab my arm.
Didn't they take a picture with you as well?
Well, it was your idea. You said, "Do you want a picture with
them?" That's right. Yes, I did.
That's great.
Yeah, but it was like, "We voted for you. Oh, you did such a great job. We voted for you." And then Jeremy said, "Are you from the UK?" And I was like, "Seriously?"
Yeah.
They could have been on break from Wizarding World of Harry Potter for all I knew. So.
Staying in character.
Still in character, yeah.
That happened to me on the way out of Tower of Terror. I feel like my whole story is more about Tower of Terror than it is.
That's all right.
That's Hollywood Studios.
Yes. Yeah. So when I was walking out, I noticed like these two teenagers and they were like whispering and looking at me, which that's nerve-wracking because you're like, what? Like,
am I getting mugged?
Is there something on me or in my teeth or something? Anyway. And they were like, we voted for you. And like, they were so sweet. And they were like, you did a really good job. And I was like, thanks. And it was just funny because it does give you that like false sense of celebrity or something.
Exactly.
Like, wow, I'm awesome. And then you leave the park and nobody knows you.
I mean, this is going to sound so conceited, but that really was one of my favorite parts of the whole experience.
Right.
Just feeling like it didn't just end when the show ended.
Right.
Like people did enjoy it. Like you said, Matt, it's probably not the highlight of their day, but people did see you and like,
yeah.
Your experience was part of their experience, too. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of cool.
It was.
So, I'm not sad to see it go, but I'm glad I did it while I was there.
Right. So. I agree.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace, American Idol experience.
And can we get some pictures to put on the show notes, Terry, for people to see you in the American Idol experience?
I will send you some pictures.
Great.
That'd be great.
All right. When we come back, we're going to play a game.
Game Master Jeremy, and it's time for another Mad Chatter game.
Wow.
I just really like doing that. Okay, today's Mad Chatter game is pitting Derek once again against Matt, the undefeated champion of Mad Chatter games, Matthew. And joining us, the ringer, is Terry. She's stuck around, so
actually,
welcome,
Terry. Terry's going to join my team to help me take down Matt.
Okay, spirit of our musical themed episode, and that is humdinger with popular Disney songs. I'm going to hum the song.
Oh, no, you are not.
And you have to guess what it is.
Oh no. Jeremy.
All right, so these are all very popular songs that you should know.
So
all right.
He says.
We should know.
Here we go. All right, we're going to start with the champion, Matt. Are you ready?
Yeah, sure. When We're Human.
Very good. That's correct. We're Human from...
You really got into that. That was terrific.
Are you two going to be together or separate?
No, I was just kidding. I can be separate.
Okay. One check or two.
All right.
I don't know. Do you want to be together or separate? I mean, we can be together.
We can do together.
Okay.
Totally fine.
Okay. All right. So here you go. Here's your song. Ready?
So try your best to stay calm. Brush up and send us alone. Prince Ali.
Prince Ali is correct!
That's what I was singing. I was like, that can't be the name.
Just say it.
Where'd he go, Derek?
He's got the monkeys. That's my
All
favorite
right.
part.
Matthew, now your turn. Ready?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Baby Mine.
Baby Mine is correct.
From Dumbo.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You sound like Peter Griffin trying to sing Christmas carols.
Yes.
Oh, this is fantastic.
All right.
This is fun.
D&T, you ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Here we go. Ooh, ba ba, ba 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 ba.
Reflection.
Yes, reflection.
Good. Very good. Thank Correct you. Again.
Thank you for giving us the softballs.
It's too much.
Oh. All right, Matt, you ready?
I like your different vocalizations.
Yeah, and Thank the you, emotions God. You put into it. Stella.
From the standard to the ba-ba-ba.
I try to keep it fresh.
Yeah.
All right, ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Ha, 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 ha. Correct.
This is a mess.
All right.
You can barely watch you.
Your turn. Are you all ready?
For the record, I do have these recordings and will forever hold on to them whenever I need to use them.
You're welcome.
This can be our intro music from now on.
Please let that be your intro music.
Sounds like Meet the Flintstones.
Oh gosh.
Would you like me to do it again?
Please.
Yes. Forever and ever.
Bum 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 bum.
Is there a bridge or something?
If there is, that's the only part I really remember. So
Matt, you don't know either? Okay. Oh.
No guess.
Well, that's not fair.
No guess.
Everybody! Everybody!
Everybody! Everybody!
Oh.
Be a cat.
Oh.
I didn't really hear a melody. I heard more just rhythmic
shouting. Rhythmic shouting.
Yeah.
Listen, I do my best. All right, Matt, your turn. Ready?
Yep. You'll bring honor to us all.
Ah, very good. Good
I
job,
knew
Matt.
That one.
Terry knew that right away.
You went right to the bridge on that one. That's funny.
Yeah, couldn't know. I didn't know where to jump in at the other part. Okay, back to Derek and Terry.
Mine.
Good, mine. Good, from Pocahontas.
That movie is getting so many shout-outs on this podcast. That needs to stop.
Calls it Jeremy.
That yeah, you're right.
The first Pocahontas I had. All right, you ready? Matt.
Yep. When I see an elephant fly.
Correct.
Sounded like the Family Matters theme song for a minute. Sounded like the Family Matters theme song for a minute.
That's Full House, Matt.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
No.
This is
the same thing on Family Matters. Oh, they do it on both shows?
You forget that it was your standard 90s sitcom. It all had that.
With everybody facing away from the camera, and then slowly they look at the camera and smile, because like, oh, someone's looking at me.
I'm playing the piano.
Created by Jeff, what's his last name?
Franklin.
Franklin.
Foxworthy.
If they're all Jeff Foxworthy. Okay, a couple more. Are you ready, Derek and Terry?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it the Tangled song?
Is it
perfect?
Thank you.
The Mama song from Tangled.
If they don't know this, I steal it, right?
I don't know what that's called. Mother Gothel, Come to Mama. Oh, what's it called?
Crap.
Mother Dearest.
That's like three guesses.
I'm your mama.
Matt, what is it?
Mother Knows Best.
Mother Knows Best. Mother Knows
Something about a mother.
Listen to your mumsy.
Yeah. We were really close. Big Mama's house.
Okay, Matt, this is for you.
So this is love.
Correct.
Oh my gosh, Jeremy's face is killing me.
And the body movement is sensual.
Especially after saying, Matt, this is for you.
My mistake. My bad. Okay, Derek and Terry.
Never know.
Bellanote.
A what?
Bellanote.
Correct, yes. Bellanote. Okay, one last one for Matt and one last one for Derek and Terry. Matt, this is for you. Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, some movies that Disney made, but you put Disney music in front of me. I mean, in my ear. I don't know. I know Disney music is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Are we ready for the final one?
Yes. Let it go. Let it go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Say it.
Let it go.
Yes, and I will.
Oh, yes.
Well,
yes.
It was a close Bravo. Game, but you all did miss one. D&T did. So Matt remains our reigning Mad Chatter champion. Join us next time for another Mad Chatter game.
Next time I'll have two more people on my team. We'll just add one until I win, finally.
It'll be Matt against the world.
Yeah. In your face.
Well, Terry, thank you so much for joining us. It's been wonderful having you, and hopefully we'll have many more guests in the future.
Thanks for letting me come and be a part. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Terry. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thanks, guys.
Since this is our very special musical episode of the Mad Chatters podcast, we're going to talk about music specifically at the parks. We're going to talk about some categories of music and mention some of our favorites, and we hope that you will write us or tweet us and tell us some of your favorites as well when we're done. But first, guys, let's talk about why we like the music at the parks. For me, there's something about it that just kind of takes me back the minute I hear it, no matter where I am, whether I'm in my office or brushing my teeth. It takes me right back to that part of the park, and that's one of the reasons I love it. Are you guys the same way?
Absolutely. And when I'm a music fan in general, and so when you have something like a party or a parade, which I just saw tonight, or you have something going on, no matter what kind of music it is, just playing music makes a difference. And Disney capitalizes on that by matching the music to the themed area, to the mood, to the ride, to the attraction, whatever. And it really ingrains it in your mind, like you just said.
And people, I think, underestimate how valuable music is to these kind of experiences. I live in Miami, and I was at the Miami Zoo a couple weeks ago. And they have, I mean, for the most part, the zoo is your typical zoo. It's just you walk, and there's animal in an exhibit and animal in an exhibit. But they opened a new part like a couple of years ago on the Amazon. So it's like jaguars and those kind of things. But it is a totally immersive experience than just like exhibit. You walk in and the greenery is just surrounds you around the path. But the biggest difference I noticed is they added music like what you would see at Walt Disney World. Speakers throughout, and there's just this awesome Amazonian music that plays, and it adds to the experience so much more. So yeah, those kind of things matter. You don't really sometimes catch it or consciously think about it, but it's there, and it really ups the ante.
I completely agree. Yeah, and I do hate that most people don't notice it on their first or maybe even second trip, but
they notice it. They just don't notice that they notice it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, meta.
Exactly. But for people like us who collect the music and listen to it, it becomes like such a necessary part of the park that I even look forward to hearing the music when I walk down certain streets.
Well, the Disney Hipsters was another podcast. They put out a blog today that had some background loops on it for Christmas. And one of the things they mentioned that I never really thought about is these background loops are meant to be in the background. They're not to be like in your face, like right there. And so they're perfect for if you work in an office or you have a job that, you know, you just need some background music, or even at the house, you know, if you're cleaning or whatever. These are great to just put in the background. You'll catch yourself humming along, but they're not like intrusive.
And let me tell you, the many uses I have gotten from having Disney Parks music like down like loops, like hour long, 2 hour long loops of things on my my phone or whatever. Like vacation Bible schools, parties, festivals. You know, you can find any theme you want and turn it on, and it immediately like amplifies the whole believability of the experience.
Yeah.
Oh, I work. I tweeted this out a couple days ago. I work so much better in the office when I'm listening to like Epcot music, because it's just like that industrial like work, and especially like when Horizon's music comes on, where it's like, if you can dream it, then you can do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and dive in. We've already mentioned some, but let's start with some of our favorite background loops. And by background loops, I, of course, mean hour, sometimes 2 hour long loops to just play in the background. No lyrics. It's the ones that people do not know this. They don't know this. So, Jeremy, why don't you start? What are some of your favorites?
One of my favorites is extinct, but I'm going to include it because it's recently extinct. And that is, I love the acoustic guitar background music from Camp Minnie Mickey and Disney's Animal Kingdom. It's just like your Disney songs, but it's only acoustic, very soft, and it's almost like you're just sitting around the campfire. But it is perfect to play in the background when you're at work or, you know, I just... And again, it just moves like a nice melody or a medley, excuse me, from one song to the next.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think of that one, but that's good.
I mean, it's Disney film songs, right?
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, it's like You Got a Friend in Me and those kind of things, but it's just an acoustic guitar, like somebody sitting around playing in the corner, but it's not annoying.
Yeah.
Like most acoustic guitars are.
Well, I have several, but I'll first mention the one that always comes to mind. Absolute favorite, Main Street USA. It's got all the turn of the century, like lots of ragtime, but not all ragtime. And some of them are actually from Disney movies, like The Happiest Millionaire and
Summer Magic
with Haley Mills. Yeah, and every single song in that loop is just perfect. And
I
turn around, look, wave at the mayor, and like I just feel like I'm right there and turn this into
You do this America. While you're brushing your teeth?
Yes. Hello, Mr. Mayor.
There's some non-Disney songs as well, like... Playing with the trolley and all those kind of things.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, a lot of
great. Lots of Broadway. Meet Me in St. Louis is one of
those.
Music, the Music Man medley is great. Mm-hmm. They used to have an Oklahoma medley. I think they've removed that.
Okay.
That didn't make a lot of sense. Like, maybe at Midwestern. But Main Street is on my list as well, near the top, because I can turn that on anytime, and it's like I am transported to the Magic Kingdom. And I can smell it, like, in the morning, or even at night, you're just lingering around in the Emporium or whatever. I love that music.
Yes.
Another one that takes
And it's just happy.
Straight to the Magic Kingdom is the Pinocchio Village House loop.
Uh-huh.
It's on my list, too.
Uh-huh.
With the yodelers.
Yes, and just the opening drums of that loop. I am instantly in fantasy land. I mean, I'm there. I feel the Florida sun on me. I feel the strollers, but I am there. And it is.
Again, wonderful. I'm going to bask in the fact that I have been there before you guys were there, in that I was able to experience the Skyway to Tomorrowland.
Yes.
Because that little station that used to sit up on top of the hill where the Tangled restrooms are now, you would wait a pretty long while just to get on one of the sky buckets to go over to Tomorrowland. And that's the music they would pump over there as well. It was called Fantasyland East. No, Fantasyland West. That was the loop, or whichever one. One of the directions. But yeah, I love it. Except for the one in the middle that's really creepy. It's like the kids all like chanting something. It's like Hitler Youth having like a camp or something.
I can't hear it. That's what I always picture.
I always picture like all the Hitler Youth like dancing around with their, you know, whatever.
Okay, Matt, what's one you have written down that we haven't said?
We covered Main Street, Village House. Derek, I think we're going to have one in common. Maybe not. And that is the often overlooked and maybe under the radar Flame Tree Barbecue.
Ooh. Oh, no, but I do have Adventureland written down, and those share a lot of elements, right?
Oh, see, and I'll just go ahead and say that Adventureland and Discovery Island. Animal Kingdom share almost the exact same loop, the marimba
sections of it, yeah, all the steel drums. And
those steel drums, you put some steel drums on, and I am in Adventureland, so...
I love as you're going from the hub across the bridge, and it's just the perfect transition, so subtle you wouldn't even notice it, to those steel drums, and it's like, oh, I'm on a jungle safari.
Yeah.
I know that's what you're thinking.
Well, yeah, I like anything tropical. Steel drums and marimbas and all that stuff, automatically I go to Adventureland. But Flame Tree Barbecue, we can talk about all this. Flame Tree Barbecue has a distinctive South Asian Indian flair to it, lots of sitar. Oh, and I don't know, it's just good. Plus, I love the restaurant.
Yeah,
eating there.
That's good. Okay, I'm going to move over to Epcot with my next one, and it is Innoventions. It's about 45 minutes long, but it's kind of what you said, Jeremy, about industrial. And it also feels kind of 80s, 90s-ish, but I love it, and I hope they keep it forever.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know, there's a playlist on Spotify. If you, like, search Epcot, somebody's made a playlist of all these non-Disney, like, techno... the music they use in Future World, a lot of it. And a lot of it's the Innoventions, like Behind the Waterfall, that I know you all like. And, and that one you just did, those were all great.
I love Behind the Waterfall so much. This is probably... my favorite non-Disney song featured in the park.
Okay.
It instantly relaxes me. There are times that, you know, I have a bad day or I'm just feeling stressed about something or whatever. I turn that song on and I literally feel the stress leave my shoulders. It is so relaxing.
Crazy,
and Lord. I'm just picturing like what it would be like to be behind a waterfall. And thanks to Jungle Cruise, I kind of have an idea.
Jungle Cruise, yeah. Backside of water.
Listen, if you have children and you need them to calm down for a nap, this is Dr. Jeremy giving you some advice here. I'm a pediatrician. You just go in there, you put on that there behind the waterfall, and they will be knocked plumb out. That was a little bit of Dr. Phil.
I got it. I heard it.
How's that working for you?
It's great. Behind the Waterfall.
Ask me that next week after I try it for a week.
That one's definitely going in the show notes. That will be in
the show notes. See, I put Fountain of Nations area.
That's a great one.
I didn't mean necessarily the music they play for that, even though that's great. I meant the loop that's playing, but that might be the Innoventions loop. It might be the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the loop they play there in that central hub area at Epcot.
Yeah, it probably is Innoventions.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
The reason I know these is because I have a job, I edit, so I have to listen to music without lyrics, otherwise it throws me off. So background loops is the longest section I have written down as far as my favorites go. So I'll just mention two more real quick. One is Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood Studios. It plays the old 30s, 40s music from Hollywood. Great, love it, jazz standards. But also, the Illuminations pre-show music, when you're standing there waiting for it. Oh my gosh, it is so epic.
Yeah.
And like the Japan, they've got the lots of like bass drums and things.
It's like techno ethnic.
It is, the
didgeridoo that's in that.
Yeah,
like,
mostly I hear. That's really good.
Way better than my didgeridoo.
Mostly I hear like Japan and UK, but I'm sure they tried to hit all the countries at some point, but. It's so, and it really builds, and like, as I'm listening to it, I get that feeling of it's dark outside, the lantern, or the light, the flames have just come on,
the torches are on, yes! And
I'm eating my Napoleon from the boulangerie, patisserie. I have one more in this category, and that is the Fairy Tale Circus loop.
Yes.
Which I only recently was able to find and actually, and listen to.
Storybook Circus?
Yes, Storybook, what'd I say?
Fairy Tale Circus.
Fairy Tale Circus.
Yeah. I was that does not exist.
Storybook Circus. One more I had that I wanted to mention that I like to listen to at in the office as well. Let me find it. Da-da-da-da-da. Oh, Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Ooh, yes.
That's a good one as well.
I love the ethnic chanting ethnicity. And all that. The ethnicity.
Can we just say that Disney makes good background
it's
movies?
It's so good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And most of it's original, right? If not all of it? Okay.
Yeah.
They do such a good job, yeah. All right, well, let's move on to our second category. We've done background loops. Now, let's talk about original scores, mostly for attractions. Now, they usually last the same length of time as the attraction, and it just plays in your ear.
Can we take this park by park? Can we do it? Would that be easier?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. You start us off.
Let's start at the Magic Kingdom. Okay. And not just during the attraction, but also I'm going to include the queue music when you're waiting in the queue for this. I love Space Mountain music in the queue. Mm.
The Star Tunnel.
Very simple. Very easy, nothing dramatic about it. But again, one of those loops, it instantly relaxes me. I instantly feel like I'm under those blue lights in the tunnel.
Yes.
I smell Space Mountain. I feel Space Mountain when I listen to it. It's
It's perfect for that attraction, too. It just feels like space. And maybe I'm attributing it to that because I attribute it to Space Mountain, but I don't think so.
It definitely has that intergalactic futuristic feel. Yes, intergalactic. That's the perfect word there for it.
Okay. All of mine are from Epcot.
Then we'll move to Epcot.
Okay. Epcot, I feel like the one we have to mention is Soarin'. In some ways, I like the music better than the attraction itself. But it's really, really well done. And I feel like I should know who composed it, but I don't.
Jerry Goldsmith.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
The Mummy.
Anyway, it's a really, really good score.
And very epic. It definitely has that build where you feel like you're in the clouds, and then it opens up with that, you know, and of course the opening shot of Soarin' is the Golden Gate Bridge, but it just has that epic feel of bomb, 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 you know, whoa! Yeah.
Yep. It's great.
Great. Yeah, I'm going to tag on Soarin' because that's like the top of my list for original scores. And when I think about original scores, it's kind of the first one that comes to mind as being like specifically written for this attraction. It just stands out and takes me to it every time. I can almost smell the fake orange groves when I hear it. I'm going to say tag on with Derek in Epcot and say Spaceship Earth.
Yep, that was on my list
as
well.
Terrific score, new and old. I guess you wouldn't call it extinct, so we don't have to save it, but all the scores that Spaceship Earth has had have been terrific. But the new one is really great, and it captures the feeling of each era. And I really like the, what would you call it? The turn of the century ragtime part is one of my favorites.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
I'm going to tag on Epcot as well, and I'm going to say I like Test Track's score.
Okay.
Now, I do not care for the old score.
Right. I'm with you.
The previous score was a little too 80s mechanical, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
Where it's just like dun 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 dun.
Even though it opened in 1999.
Well, it still has an 80s feel to it.
Bum, 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 bum,
with that just very like. But the new score, it feels sleek to me. That's the word I think when I feel it. It's just very sleek and futuristic, and whereas the other one was very rigid. I'm using good words tonight. I like this.
We are so musical. The only other word, or the only other attraction I had written down was Ellen's Energy Adventure. I don't think it plays during the attraction necessarily, but that whole area has really fun, like, makes you kind of want to, like, get up and...
No, it does. It's a very 90s era Jurassic
feeling. Like, it captures that, the big horns, bum, 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 da, 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 da. That's very...
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. Yeah. I don't know. That era just had that kind of feel to it.
And that isn't the right. That they play that, like, when you're waiting, you know, as you go through it and you're
And during
there.
The dinosaur part, they play those jungle drums I like, too.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. But that was all I had for that category.
I put Tower of Terror. Tower of Terror is one. Yeah. Now, I know it's using theme music from the old Twilight Zone, but I'm talking about during the ride portion itself as you're ascending. Those the strings and all that are doing the chromatic scale up, they really just add to that feeling that you're really, really climbing up, even though that first time you really go up like two floors.
Yeah. All right, well, the next category we have is original songs and attractions. Now, these are the songs that someone composed and then someone wrote the lyrics to. I think this is kind of a thing of the past. I can't think of any recent Disney rides that have done this, but they certainly have stood the test of time.
Can we start in the Magic Kingdom again?
Let's do it. Matt, why don't you start? I feel like we always steal yours before you can say them.
Mine is obvious for the Magic Kingdom, then, if we're talking about original songs for attractions.
Let me guess.
Why not start with Yo-Ho, Yo-Ho. Yo-Ho.
I knew it!
Yo-Ho, Yo-Ho, a pirate's like the king. We pillage, we plunder, we rifle and loot. Drink up, me hearty, Yo-Ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot. Drink up, me hearty, Yo-Ho. Yo-Ho, Yo-Ho, a pirate's like the king.
Yes.
You can't argue with that.
No, you can't. And it's universal. I mean, people know
it's
it.
It's Disney.
Yeah. I mean, it's universally understood, as in people know that phrase, whether they attribute it to Disney and Pirates of the Caribbean or not. But wasn't this Xavier Atencio?
Yes.
Yeah.
He wrote the words.
Yeah, the lyrics. I don't know about the music.
I think Buddy Baker was the music.
The thing I love about that music is that it is dated, but it's timeless. Because it definitely has that 1950s, those trumpets and that... I'm thinking specifically the part where it's like... Dun, 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 dun,
yeah,
dun,
the kind of the stuff you still hear in the queue.
Yes. And to me, that music sounds so much like what you hear like in... I associate with, like, the Jungle Book. You know how they had those trumpety kind of feel? Does that make sense?
Hmm. Yes.
The horns. And to me, I just think of that 1950s, 60s.
Yeah, classic. It's got that Jungle Book. When you say Jungle Book, it's got that, I don't know why this was a thing, like, in the 60s for adventure movies and the feel of things. But if you listen to it, there's a very low clarinet, maybe an alto clarinet that plays. Jungle Book is big on it. Like, Bare Necessities has it in there.
Yes.
Also, when you listen to the Pirates of the Caribbean and that the prelude part, it's got that really low clarinet. And the music was written by George Bruns.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Is the guy's name. He also did Ballad of Davy Crockett, which is timeless, obviously.
Yeah.
So, Yo-Ho, a Pirate's Life for me.
Staying in the Magic Kingdom, we have to mention, of course, the Sherman Brothers and the iconic park songs they wrote. Of course, I'm thinking specifically, It's a Small World, and there's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow.
There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow is just a dream away.
And those two, I feel like I'm missing one. Am I missing one off the top?
Tiki Room.
Yes, Tiki Room.
Oh, my word.
How dare I?
I thought that was like your first one.
Yeah. I know. It should have been. But I was thinking specifically, we have a listener who has vocally told me how much she hates Carousel of Progress. And she hates that song. But that song is like really the anthem of Tomorrowland in a sense of... It's, you know, there's a great big beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. So you can't get rid of that song. It is
iconic.
That's
really the
Disney
thing. I mean, Tomorrowland for sure, but that's really like it captures Walt Disney's spirit.
Like on Meet the Robinsons.
And also, It's a Small World, which takes a bad rap for people disliking the song. However, it is arguably, in fact, this afternoon I found a Time article, and it's pulling up right now, that said that It's a Small World is possibly the most played song in the history of the world. And they had some math here. I'm sorry, it's taking
because
a
it plays 180,000 times per day in Disney World.
Well, that's what they did the math on. Hold on, where's that? Well, of course, it opened in the original 1964 World's Fair. Okay, here it is. The It's a Small Ride has run in the five Disney theme parks.
It's a small ride?
Sorry. It's a Small World ride has run in the five Disney parks for a total of 149 years and 8 months when you calculate how long all the rides have been. Give or take a few times for closings and refurbs, they put 148 years. Multiply that by 365 days per year, you get 54,020 days. During the Disney fact, according to Disney Facts, during a 16-hour operating day in the park, It's a Small World is played on average 1,200 times throughout the day. That's a total of 64,820,000 times.
Good Lord.
That the park, that it could have been played.
Hmm.
And then it says, wait, but the parks aren't open 16 hours a day, especially in the winter, blah, blah, blah. So they average it out to 12. Anyways, the point is, it's a lot. It's an iconic song.
It is.
You know, you instantly think Disney when you hear It's a Small World.
I hate that it's become kind of a joke now. You know, people are like, oh, don't play that song. But kids today still love that song when they got an attraction. And I have to think that when it first came out in the 60s, that's one of the reasons that the attraction was such a huge hit, because it was this original song with, I mean, pretty meaningful lyrics for an attraction, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The lyrics are great. When you sit down and actually listen to the lyrics, it is a beautiful song about world unity, which is what it was meant to be.
Yeah. Well, at the top of my list for Magic Kingdom, of all the parks, is Grim Grinning Ghosts for Haunted Mansion.
And the crypt doors creak and the tombstones quake.
Spooks and mockers wane and wake.
Happy haunts materialize.
And begin to vocalize.
Grim Grinning Ghosts about to socialize. Now don't blow.
I read somewhere that they play it either 7 or 9 different renditions of the song just from start to finish in that attraction. And you, when you think about it, you're like, oh, you're right. Because they, you know, the... When you first come in, it's like doo-doo-doo, and then the graveyard. It's a great song.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't even know the lyrics to this day because they're so fast. And
I think they sold it on a, they sold it, like, as, like, a Haunted Mansion commemorative, like, CD thing. They have one that plays, like, every version of it, like, from beginning to end, as if you were to sit through the attraction and hear all of them. It has all the ones we're familiar with, like the foyer, and then the ballroom, and then the attic. Mm-hmm. But then in the graveyard scene, if you find this on Spotify or something, you can find the one that sings the song, like the actual song, the 4 or 5 verses, like 10 different ways. And it's like 10 minutes long, and it will drive you insane. But if you listen to each one, it's basically when you're in the graveyard... It is what they're basically doing is separating the sound bites from, like, the band people over there playing and then the opera people, and they're just playing them individually for you.
Oh, okay.
It's super long, but interesting to listen to at least one time.
Yeah.
To hear all the renditions.
This song doesn't have words, but the Swiss polka in the Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse is also great as well.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, do you want to move on to the next park?
Yeah, let's move to Epcot.
Okay. I've got a couple.
Go for it.
One is something we've mentioned before, but it's from O Canada.
Yes!
And it's Canada!
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 Yeah. Canada. Love it. And I love it in English, and I love it in French.
Yeah, Eva Avila, the winner of Canadian Idol, sings it, the newest version. It's fantastic. It's so good.
Yes.
Yep.
And the other one I had was Promise, which is not an attraction per se, but they play it after Illuminations is over, and it's some country singer, I don't know.
I forget her name,
but
that's good. Yeah, I always thought really that song would make a good unity candle song at a wedding as well. Because it talks about as two becoming one, we go on.
We go on! Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very big, dramatic song.
Yes. A terrible song, I know we're not talking about terrible songs yet, but in case I forget about it, Destiny, that plays at the end of Mission Space.
Aww.
As you walk out.
I kind of like it.
I don't personally hate it, but I hear the CMs there, the cast members, refer to that as the Screaming Banshee because they just get tired of that song.
It is very poppy.
Original song, see, and this is one I wrote down, but I am just now realizing, looking at it, that I don't think it's an original song, but I'm going to say it anyway because to most of us white Americans, it is an original song. And that's the Three Caballeros song.
It is original. Yeah, it's original to the movie.
No. Oh, it's original to the... See, but I've heard it. I know I've heard it on, like, scanning through radio stations here in Avon Park when you come across the Latino radio stations and the mariachi bands.
That is racist. They all don't sound the same.
No, I'm telling you, I've heard that melody before. I'm going to research it.
Okay.
We're going to get to the bottom of this. I just thought about looking at it, but I love that song.
As someone who lives in Miami, I will say a lot of that Latin music, though, does sound the same.
No, but I know a melody.
My neighbors have this song, and I swear,
right now.
The whole thing is... It's like 24 hours a day. Well, while you're looking that up, I'm going to say one that is extinct, but I'm going to mention it anyways, and that is Listen to the Land from Living with the Land.
That was in my extinct section, but yes.
I love that song, and it's just so, again, simple, innocent, basic, beautiful.
And I love that it has the man with the kids. And I'm just picturing, like, Mr. Rogers sitting in the front of a room and all the children, like,
guitar.
Happily swaying. Yes.
So you're picturing Mr. Rogers. I'm picturing, like, Farmer Joe and, like, overall.
Well, yeah, just someone really nice.
Just make me leave. You're a tiny little seed.
It's so great.
You got to throw Golden Dream in here while we're in Epcot.
Yes. Ugh. Yes. Not my total...
Derek, do you hate America?
I'm sorry. It's a little too much for me, but...
Derek hates America and the terrorist went. There's another song in that attraction, not the Two Brothers, even though I kind of like that one. It's a little depressing. But the one song that...
I like the Mayflower one. Yeah.
Yes, that one. That one's a good one.
Yeah.
I forget the
title. I do like that one.
There's a... Yeah. Yep. Hey, this the same guy that wrote those songs, like all the songs for The American Adventure, I'm pretty sure he was also the composer or the writer for the songs in the Land Pavilion.
Oh, okay.
That will take some research, too. Maybe we should have researched all this before we did this. But
no, it's not like we have a podcast.
I think.
It's not like people come to us for information.
Yeah, I know.
The only other one I had written down was One Little Spark. I mean, I wouldn't, like, jam out to this in my car or anything, but I do really like it, and I love how it makes me think of Epcot immediately.
Absolutely.
Imagination.
And the original is better than the current, obviously, sure. But that's one of my brother's favorite songs from when he came.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Next, we're going to talk about film songs in the parks. What is the best use of a film song in the park?
Well, my initial thought is to go to Peter Pan with the Peter Pan songs. You can fly in Peter Pan's Flight in the Magic Kingdom. Of course, Peter Pan has great music as it is, so you can't go
wrong
with it.
Hey, speaking of Peter Pan, you guys saw all the pictures of the expanded queue?
Yes.
See, I was under the impression that that was not happening, and then suddenly here are pictures of it opening. I was like, when did they do this?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to make Jeremy really happy here, and I'm going to say, let's just say all of Fantasmic and the movie music they use, not the original score.
Yes.
But specifically...
Yes, the princess...
The one princess medley that I do love is here in Fantasmic.
Glory!
Yeah. I think we've talked about it before, but I cannot even hear Part of Your World Now without chiming in the descant. Imagination.
Yes. Oh, so good.
It is great.
I'm going to go back to the Magic Kingdom and add in, I love the Casey Jr. that plays around the Casey Jr. fountain area.
Oh.
Because, it's a kind of a stripped-down version, very, like, just a harmonica, very simple, but it's nice.
I have three. I'll just mention them all real quick. One, Zippity Doodah from Song in the South. Makes the perfect just kind of score, basically, for Splash Mountain. You just kind of like, well, I'm doing the motions that people can see me, but you just kind of have to like rock and sway and do like a hoop-de-doo hello as you listen to it.
We always worship at the end of Space Mountain. We raise our hands and clap.
Splash Mountain.
Splash Mountain. That's what I meant.
Space Mountain. We just worship at Walt Disney World.
We worship all the time.
Yeah. Anyways, sorry, Derek, go ahead.
My second is PhilharMagic. I think every song they chose for that is just perfect, and that's why I love that show. And the third one is When You Wish Upon a Star, specifically in Wishes, when it's very soft near the beginning, and Jiminy kind of speaks it in the background, like, makes no... When you... Wait, what did he say? Like a boat out of the blue! Yeah. And it, just such a special moment. That's when everybody's crying and wiping away tears. Yeah.
I'm crying right now, thinking about it.
My eyes are itching. I have Splash Mountain as well, but one I put on here is one that I don't know that a lot of people will notice, but it's the new inclusion of the up scores in the Main Street loops.
I did notice.
I didn't even think, I mean, I knew they did it, but I don't think I had a chance to hear it, like noticed it until this, I went for Night of Joy in September, and the first night I was there before the Night of Joy thing started. They were still playing the regular park music, and I heard it. That made me really happy. It fits in perfectly.
Yeah, I think that was a great addition.
Yeah, fresh addition.
Let's move on to some live performances and songs. What are our favorite live performances at the parks?
Well, I get judged for this all the time, but I am a fan of Finding Nemo the Musical. And particularly, I one of the things that I really love is I love how they used the song In the Big Blue World, which is like the opening song of Finding Nemo the Musical. They've also attached that at the end of The Seas with Nemo and Friends. And so when you're coming to the end, it's just a nice... It just flows so nicely.
That whole ride, The Seas with Nemo and Friends, that finale, that song and the effects they used, makes that whole ride worth riding.
The way that they're projected sucks. In the live tanks.
Yeah, they're all singing. It just kind of is like nice. It's a nice moment with that song.
And I like the way the starfish is kind of making sarcastic comments at the end. Yeah, yeah. By. The one time she says something like, please take me with you. They won't stop singing this song. It's very nice.
Yeah, I actually have a song from that show. It's Go With The Flow. That's my favorite from that entire show.
Yes.
Which is what Crush sings.
That show grew on me this past time with the children. And I don't know if it was just seeing it with them, but the songs really grew on me this past time. So I really do enjoy that.
There you go. I've mentioned this before, but gotta say, Voices of Liberty. I don't care what they're singing, as long as they're singing.
That's the only one I put down.
Not Dapper Dans? No, I feel like Dapper Dans are right up there close to them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, they're great. When I was thinking about my favorite, it's the Voices of Liberty just kind of stood out as the live performance.
I agree.
I'm not big on any other like stage shows or anything, so that's the one that kind of stood out to me.
Oh, you know what? One I just thought of that I always love when they're playing, when I walk in the Grand Floridian, is that Grand Floridian something society.
The jazz
or something.
Band or whatever that
is. Yeah, just when, I don't know, like the fact that you have live music at a resort makes me feel so special and fancy for being there, and I always love the selections they play as well.
You know what's awful is Coco or whatever her name is at Ohana.
Yes, it's like go away
with her the Polynesian she man or whatever.
We're gonna sing somewhere over the rainbow, mahalo with my ukulele.
Yeah, and she's then she's like, oh.
You remember? Was it with you all that she like hip checked one of us or somebody?
I think it was because we were sitting on the
with her big thunder thighs and
walkway. Yeah, there's a guy that does it like two nights a week. He's a guy that plays a bigger guy that plays just a ukulele. He plays in for the Luau show, but the nights that he's off, he plays at Ohana, and she's not there. Mm. And I forget what dates they are, so if anybody knows those, tell me so I can go to Ohana on those days and not Coco's days.
And speaking of a good film, there. Hawaiian roller coaster ride there at the it plays on the loop at the Polynesian. Wonderful. Epcot Entertainment, live entertainment, of course everybody enjoyed Off Kilter. You know, that was a good band and you know, not my favorite, but you walk by and it was enjoyable. And a lot of people hated Mo Rockin', but I didn't dislike them. The music is very hypnotic.
Yeah,
I almost bought their CD one time, but I was kind of concerned it was like some Muslim prayer music or something. I didn't want to blast that in my office. But it was enjoyable. But again, after they left, I realized a lot of people did not like them, apparently, in the Disney universe.
I can't say that I ever even saw them.
Yeah. Oh, if they were playing, you heard them, because you'd be on the other side of the World Showcase and you would hear them. But again, it was just kind of that Middle Eastern, hypnotic, belly dancing kind of music. It was enjoyable.
Yep. All right, the next category, I actually don't know why we have written down, because it's all good, but it's parade and fireworks music.
Yeah. Well, this is our favorites.
Okay.
And I say my favorite. I don't think either of you are going to say this is your favorite.
I bet I know what it is, and I bet I did say.
Uh-oh.
Illuminations, Reflections of Earth.
That is my favorite fireworks score.
That music is incredible.
That's what I picked as well. I picked Illuminations.
Really? As your favorite?
Yeah.
That's for sure. Y'all would both say Wishes.
No, listen. How can you go wrong? How can you say?
That's what. Yeah.
But as our first trip, when I first saw Illuminations, I don't want to use the word unimpressed, but after you see Wishes on your first Disney trip and you're hopped up on everything Disney, Illuminations can be kind of strange because there's nothing Disney.
Yeah, that's about why
this.
I remember both of you saying something derogatory about Illuminations and that it wasn't.
Yes, but that's
my
point.
Even now, I don't care if there's an entire crowd in front of me and I can't see the show. As long as I can hear the music, I'm good.
That's my point, is that once you kind of get past that first trip, everything has to be Disney, which I think a lot of people experience. They think they're going to Disney World. Okay, makes sense. But once you kind of get past and you realize just how amazing the show is and the music is, it definitely, if I had to choose between that and Wishes, I would probably choose Illuminations.
No, see, we're just talking about music. I don't want to go crazy. I would watch Wishes any day over Illuminations. But as far as score goes, it is so great.
If I had one night and I had to pick Wishes or Illuminations, I think I would
Illuminations. Every time. Hey, listen, there's one thing. If we could somehow pipe the string prelude between the end of the actual show and the beginning of the finale song, We Go On, just that little string intro to We Go On, if you could just pipe that over in the Middle East, that would just fix all the problems.
It would bring peace.
Absolutely. You can just feel the calm and the quiet. Yes. Come over World Showcase Lagoon when that starts.
I know I'm young and I'm naive, but things like Epcot and things like Illuminations genuinely make me believe that the world can be a better place.
You're a post-millennialist.
As oversimplified as that sounds, it's something about Illuminations. Just thought, we are one world. This is a beautiful planet. Let's enjoy it and let's be friends.
Not going to happen.
Well, let's move to our last category of favorites, and this is the extinct category. Now, we've already mentioned some, like Moroccan, Listen to the Land. I'll go ahead and throw one out there. It's the Jamin Jungle Parade. I actually never really loved this parade, first of all, because it is at the hottest time of day, in the hottest park there is, and I'm just kind of over it by about 5 minutes into it. But the more I listen to the music, I love it, and I cannot help
it. I sold you on this.
You did. I download all these songs, and Jeremy's like, you need to get Jamin Jungle, and finally I caved and got it. And oh my gosh, it makes me want to kind of move my hips, and I love the little radio walkie-talkie stuff at the beginning, but throughout, it keeps that great tempo. And now sing it out.
This was on my list as well. Because I will come in, and it's funny, I quote this parade often, and people have no idea. Like, when I walk into our room.
No, they don't have the Jamin Jungle Parade memorized.
And I'll quote Rafiki, I'll say, "Hello, my friends!" And they all just kind of look at me. And then I'll say, "So many people." They're like, "What?" Anyways, and I just get a kick out of it. But yes, it definitely has good grooving music to it. I hope they do bring back some kind of a parade to Animal Kingdom, because I think it's needed. And the thing I liked about Animal Kingdom Parade, the Jamin Jungle, is you had some rarer characters that you probably wouldn't see anywhere else. they're like Turk and like Brer Fox and Brer Bear. Like those characters
I'll
are not going to be.
I'll give you that the music for that is good and catchy and very Disney-esque for that. I don't think a parade at Animal Kingdom is necessary.
Mm-mm. Oh, well.
It's more or less an inconvenience for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I never really loved the parade.
Well, and it was always at 4 o'clock. It's exactly. Like, who's even there at 4 o'clock?
When it closes at 2, you're right.
Didn't the park like close 3 hours ago? There's a parade at 4. Now, hey, but like, this new no, that's the water show. That's not going to be a parade.
What about like an 11 a.m. parade? That would be nice.
I would like something like that. I don't think I care for the actual parade itself either. The puppets are impressive, but that's all there is.
Yeah. The puppets were not that great. In my opinion, I didn't really like the puppets, but the floats were fun, like with the camping gear and each one being themed for the Fab Five characters.
I mean, they were like Jeeps, right?
They could use like old floats from extinct Disney parades that dealt with animals.
Like,
oh wait, they've done that at Festival of the Lion King already.
Aw.
Death.
Okay, Matthew, what's an extinct song you like?
Extinct?
Yeah.
Yes. And doesn't really play anymore.
I'm gonna give a general shout out to all of the old Future World music that I miss, such as Horizons, the old World of Motion music, Making Memories, Fun to Be Free. One of my top ones though is Alien Encounter. And I've talked about this on a previous show, but the pre-show music, the cue music, the actual score for the ride, the attraction, it was very good, very dark, and propounded that sense of anticipation that you were already feeling because this was supposed to be the most terrifying thing ever at Walt Disney World. I miss it.
I'm going to give a shout out to an extinct parade, and that is Spectral Magic.
Yeah. On my list. Yeah.
I miss that music. I miss, Main Street Electrical Parade is okay. It's not my favorite as far as the music goes because it has that very synthesized music and I can only take so much. Mm-hmm. Whereas Spectral Magic, it had a little bit of that synthesized, but
it was orchestral.
Yes, there you go. That was
it was beautiful. It was quite beautiful.
I love it. It just soars.
And I thought we would get Spectral back, but apparently we're not getting Spectral back ever again.
It has been destroyed.
It is gone forever.
In fact, I own a piece of it here on my pin set. You can buy the Spectral Magic, and Disney does this a lot. They put pieces of their parades in the their extinct attraction. So I have a piece of glitter from Mickey's cape.
That is insane.
Spectral Magic.
Wow. I thought like you had like a piece of a screw from the inside of a float.
No, just the...
This is a washer that went on the backside of something.
No, it's just a piece of his glittery cape.
Oh, Spectral Magic. Yeah, I like Main Street Electrical Parade too, but Spectral Magic was what I kind of grew up with in my formative years at Disney World. So.
And I'm fortunate if I have it on my computer, and I think you guys do as well. The Spectral Magic with Roger Rabbit in it.
Yes. Yep.
Of course, he was replaced by Genie.
Oh, no. I even have the official Park CD, but it's got Genie on it.
Have you ever heard, this was on an album that was released for the 25th anniversary called Music from the Parks. There's a jazz piano version of the Spectral Magic
song. I've heard that, yes.
David Benoit is the pianist. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, it is good. Yep. I like it. All right, so there are some of our favorite. There's some of our favorite music at the parks. Now, maybe we should talk about some of the ones we don't like. I will say, when I was thinking about this category, it was hard because even the ones that maybe I didn't like upon first listen, you just kind of grow to love because it's Disney World, and how can you not?
And you have memories attached to it.
Sure, sure. Like Tiki Room. Excuse me.
He's getting choked up.
Yeah.
Tiki Room.
Like, Tiki Room probably wouldn't have it on a loop in my car. But it's just so great.
See, I got the full show. I love it.
I did too, but it's not like my roll down the window jam song.
I have definitive least favorites, like hatred.
Okay.
For some, you for go some first, songs. Then. I'm just going to say, I don't know why, but all of mine are at Epcot. And somebody just said some of the Live the Land music. I want to speak specifically about the exterior land pavilion music that
I
sounds
have that
like
written down.
Really cheesy. I don't even know how to describe it. Just like, what is going on?
It is so strange.
Like somebody just went crazy on a kiddie keyboard. Yeah.
It feels really, really dated.
It just compounds the old feeling in Future World to me. And if they had like a really nice, I don't know, I'm thinking like a Wilderness Lodge type, you know, Americanized Aaron Copland kind of score playing over there at the land, it'd be really nice. What they play around Soarin' would be really nice over there at the land.
Yeah, I agree.
I want to say the old test track, I wrote down test track not really remembering that it's new now, so it's, I guess, technically extinct, but the old test track score is awful.
Yeah, I can't stand it. It's just, again, it's so mechanical sounding and so harsh.
And repetitive, and just like, that made that cue just awful. Just awful. And last but not least, in my least favorites, is the Destiny song from Mission Space.
It did make your list.
Destiny!
Oh my gosh. And when I hear it, I like start singing it, and I'll sing it all day, but I just hate it.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, it's awful.
The girl who sings it, I looked her up, and that's like the biggest thing she's ever done. Like, she put out a little CD, but it never went anywhere. So she is, that's the highlight of her career, singing that song.
It's a pretty good highlight.
You have that song, you have that ride, which itself is underwhelming. Well, that's for a different conversation. That whole experience is underwhelming. But you have space, and it's so epic, and it's so adventurous, and then they dump you out in a in like a church hallway with fluorescent lights and this song playing over the thing. It's just like, ugh.
And it is a long walk.
Everybody always throws up in there. There's throw up everywhere. I don't think it's because of the ride. I think it's because of the poor choice of music and lighting.
Well, I actually have one written down that has been mentioned already, so I have a feeling you're not going to like this. But Main Street Electrical Parade, you're right. It is synthesized, and it's so repetitive. It's what, the Baroque Hoedown? Is that what it's called? It's so repetitive. I'm sorry. I just can't.
You should do yourself an awful favor and listen to the original version of the Baroque Hoedown.
Oh, no.
It's by like two potheads in the 70s that like synthesized music. It's weird. Huh. But I like the Main Street Electrical Parade music, so
yeah,
I'm not agreeing with
did.
You on
I knew
that.
You did. Also, Country Bear Jamboree, I just can't, you guys. I can't. Any song in that thing, get me out of there.
Country Bear Jamboree, it's mean, like, it's fun. It's just
it's
country.
So old, it's like it's a parody of itself.
Yes.
But it's in a good way. Yeah, like, Mama Don't Whoop Little Buford, like, you can sit there the whole time and like, these songs are awful.
But they were real songs, that's the funny
thing.
Like,
yeah. Mama Don't Whoop Little Buford,
you
come up and see me sometime. That whole show is ridden with adult humor.
And you cannot listen to that show and then walk out without singing Blood on the Saddle.
That's a great thing.
No.
You're insane.
It's really
insane.
Yeah.
I like, all the guys that turn me on, turn me down. That's another good one there.
The only other one I had was Two Brothers from American Adventure.
Yes!
It's just kinda, it's so corny.
I know Jeremy's thing is this, but that whole attraction, except for Golden Dream, all those songs are awful.
No!
A cannonball don't pay no mind.
One was gentle, one was kind.
I think I understand what you're saying. It's not my favorite song, and I do. It is kind of depressing. Well, not kind of, very depressing.
Yeah.
But I do think that it fits the feel of what it's supposed to do. I mean, it accomplishes its purpose. It's supposed to be a song about how the Civil War was damaging to our country. And
why do we need a song? Why can't we just say it?
Well, you could say that about everything. So
it's a,
that logic doesn't go very far, but. Anywho, something we didn't mention that we need to, and I don't know where this fits, but and I'm surprised you didn't, Derek, because the cue music for Jungle Cruise
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I've mentioned it before on this podcast. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's true.
Terrific.
So great.
That 1930s.
Well, it's
20s.
Not only the music; it's the mixture of that music, and they put in kind of the scratchy record effects with it.
Yeah, like a radio.
It's the mixture of like an old transmitter radio in the jungle. They got that mixed with the DJ coming on, the old school DJ, whatever they'd call them then.
DJs
doing all the little parody announcements and all that stuff. It gives you a real feeling of setting. It really sets the stage very well for what you're about to experience.
Good call. I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that does it for our music episode. Did you guys have anything else?
Well, I'm just disappointed. I thought the musical episode would have been an actual musical where we would break into song and dance randomly throughout the podcast.
So. Hooray for Disney World.
Da, 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 da,
da, da, da, da, Disney World.
At Cheddar's.
At Disney World.
All right, well, that's a Disney great start. World. You guys keep working on that for next week. Speaking of next week, hope you guys come back next week. But until then, feel free to...
I will.
And our listeners, too, would be great.
Yeah.
Follow us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook.
Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter at @mad_chatters. There we go. Be sure to leave a review on iTunes if you haven't already. We really appreciate those. They help get our name out there on iTunes. And I hope you have a wonderful musical week, and we will see you next week.
MadChatters.net.
MadChatters.net. Always, yes.
Bye-bye.